Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter A Vision for You on page 158. Reading and commenting on one paragraph, paragraph 3. It begins with that afternoon. Today's readers are Santa H. for the 12 steps, Martha M. for the 12 traditions, and our readers are Dion R., Leslie M., and Eileen M. Our newcomer greeter today is Kara L. She'll take numbers from newcomers as well as provide numbers for available sponsors. And then we'll close up with some announcements. Important information from Robin T. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, May 26, is 14691. That's 14,691. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for May 27th is 14695. That's 14,695. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Santa H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, family. My name is Santa H., grateful compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time from New Jersey. And here are the steps we took as suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food in our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our fears. Thank you and have a marvelous day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Santa H. And I'll now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I want to thank you, Elaine, for your service and wish everybody a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martha M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter of Vision for You on page 158, reading paragraph 3, and I will now ask Dion R. to please begin reading.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, Elaine. This is Dion R. Grateful, guys, to be on this program on recovery. Share my experience, strength, and hope. That afternoon, he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital a free man. He entered a political campaign, making speeches, frequently men's gathering places of all sorts, often staying up all night. He lost the race by only a narrow margin. He had found God. And in finding God, he found himself. Oh, my goodness. That is such a blessing. It's such a promise. That is hope and a promise, what I'm reading here, that I'm getting out of freedom. How free do you want to be? Oh, I finally got to that point. When I surrendered, doing it my will for over 20-some years in the program, the only success I had was I just kept coming back, miserable and all. I'm a 300 pounds and all. I still kept coming in my 411 frame body. But God, right? And I knew it was something there in the rooms. I just didn't know what. I would always hear this thing from my parents. Once you find that freedom or the God of your understanding or whatever, you don't want to go back. Didn't know what that meant until I got the freedom from compulsive overeating, where I could, not that I got cocky, but the fact that I wasn't thinking about it 24 hours a day. If I'm going on a trip, not a trip, staying home, in a meeting, in other meetings, you know, it was like, oh, when are they going to feed churches? You know, when would I'm going to get through so I can eat? Not because of the food so much. It was just I had a hole in my heart, or in my soul, may I say. And only thing filled it was, like they said, but he found God. That's the only thing. that filled a hole within me. As my late mother would say from the South, that's the onlyest thing. God, he's the onlyest one to fill those voids. So with that, I'm just grateful that I found my freedom in these rooms of 12-step support and Overeaters Anonymous, the one that unlocked the gate and said, oh, so once I'm free, I don't want to go back. You know, just for the day, I keep doing what I have to do so I can stay in these rooms and keep my freedom. No matter what's going on, pandemic, death, whatever, joys, weddings, I refuse to give up this good freedom. And with that, I pass, guys. I'm so glad you are here, and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Dion R., for getting us started. So, although we value your experience so much, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So, if anybody would like to comment on this paragraph, please let me know.
Laura W.
Stacy J.
Eileen
Laura
M.
W.
Stacy J.
Eileen M.
Laura Lee S. in Denver.
Laura Lee S. in Denver. Okay, I've got Lori W., Stacy J., Eileen M., Laura Lee S. Who else would like to share?
Melanie C.
Melanie C. And we got time for one more.
Kathy K. from Sacramento.
Kathy K. from California. All right. Okay, what a great lineup. So, Lori W., Stacy J., Eileen M., Laura Lee S., Melanie C., and Kathy K. Lori W., please go ahead. You'll be followed by Stacy J.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Great. Good morning. It's Laura W., recovered anorexic exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I've been listening to these meetings for many, many years, and I never, ever leave the meeting not learning something. And that's the beauty of this book. My book is worn and tattered and taped and highlighted, and you know, I just feel that every time I read something or I listen to something being read, I learn something new. You know, he began to have a spiritual experience. This is Bill D., alcoholic number 3, and he puts his clothes on and walks from the hospital a free man, never to drink again. Right, so he loses the race, the political race, by a narrow margin. So it didn't go his way, right? But did he go drink? No. He found God, and in finding God, he found himself. And I learned that over my, it'll be 16 years of back-to-back recovery and abstinence for me this September, and every single day I wake up an unrecovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic, and I ask God to direct my thoughts, direct my behaviors, keep me close to him, stay abstinent, of course, and to help others. And what I'm hearing in this paragraph is the change in his thinking and his attitudes and his emotions, because, you know, he enters this campaign and he loses. So what does that tell me? It tells me that, you know what, not everything has to go my way. God's taking care of me. Sometimes, you know, these setbacks are really setups for greater things to come. And I try to remember that when things don't go my way. And, you know, there's a saying like, you're driving to work and you get a flat tire, and then you fix the tire, and then you get a speeding ticket because you're speeding to work, and then your boss yells at you, and you go to bed that night, and you are abstinent and sober, and it was a good day. You know, it was a good day. And that's what I try to think of, you know, each day. It's not everything's going to go my way, but I have these 12 steps to direct me, and God not only is with me, but God is in me, so I'll never be alone. And that's how I feel when I read this. You know, Bill's got God with him, going, making his speeches and staying up all night, and I don't think this man ever drank again. So in finding God through the spiritual experience, we do find ourselves. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. Stacy J., you're up next, and you're followed by Eileen M. Please go ahead, Stacy.
Thanks very much for your service. This is Stacy J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. This is such a beautiful, short paragraph that, to me, says a lot about once recovery happens, you know, I get launched into life in a new way. And as was previously shared, that doesn't mean everything goes the way I want it to, certainly. But when I was going through the steps after years of relapse, my sponsor had said to me, you know, buckle up, like get ready for what happens in life when you recover, because it is a ride. And I was excited by that idea. And now with about 8 months of recovery, my sponsor was right. Like, there is so much life happening and so many things that are going on in my own career, even now, and, you know, some media interviews and things that would have normally previously kind of made me want to pick up to calm myself, pick up food to calm myself. And I don't feel that way now. It's a much, much calmer experience. And but I'm still, you know, I'm struggling with time management. It's not like I'm doing everything perfectly, or, you know, and in this sort of time of like social isolation, I certainly sometimes feel like food is one of the more exciting things that happens in my day, which is not the way I want to feel. So I still have to pray every day and connect with my higher power and turn my food over to my higher power and try to be of service in the midst of all the busyness that's happening. But just like with this gentleman who loses the race by a narrow margin and does not pick up again, it is different now. Now in this recovered state, when there are bumps in the road, it's not a catastrophe. And it's you know, in having a higher power, now there's an awareness that maybe these things that come my way that don't go the way I want, that there's a purpose. I don't need to understand the purpose. I just need to ask my higher power to lead me to the next right thing, whatever that is, and to try and get out of the driver's seat of kind of trying to know what that is. And all that has come as a result of the spiritual attitude that I've gotten through recovery, and I'm so grateful for it. And I just hope I can continue to show up and go to the next right thing my higher power sends me to. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stacey J. Eileen M., you are up next, and Laura Lee S. will be following you.
Good morning. Alina? This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And I'm just looking at this final or this last line, in finding God, he found himself. And, you know, that reminds me of, you know, when he found God, he had a new employer and he was no longer running the show, you know, as a result of his spiritual awakening by, you know, doing the six steps at that time that came from the Oxford groups. And, you know, he gained access to a higher power, you know, after putting himself in God's hands. And I have to say that, you know, that really struck me because when I discovered the Vision for You meeting in May 2016, it was 4 years, a little over 4 years ago, you know, I got a sponsor right away, and she told me that I was blocked from God. And I didn't understand what that meant. I'm like, what do you mean blocked? You know, because I had a higher power in my life that I went to, you know, for help for things, and I did prayer and meditation. I mean, I kind of did it sporadically, but I kept trying to, you know, get the program. And I had been in programs since 1989. And, you know, I had these periods of abstinence and periods of neutrality, but I always went back to the food. And, you know, what I found as a result of doing the work is that I had a step two problem. I had this higher power that I was, you know, dragging along with me from childhood that did not work. And I didn't realize that, you know, and I what my sponsor said was, she said, you need a new God. You need to fire that old God and get a new one. And that wasn't really that easy. But, you know, once I did, it was like I was on my way, you know, and you know, I have a God in my life today that loves me no matter what. And every day, you know, when I wake up, I get to make a choice. is like, am I going to turn over my will today? And I also need to keep my channel to God cleared out so that I'm not blocked. And the things that would block me would be like resentment and fear. And, you know, it's just, you know, having that choice every day. Am I going to turn my will over, or am I going to try to run my life by myself? And I know that when I try to run my own life, it doesn't work. It's like I'm so busy trying to manage my life, and God's got a better story for me. God wants me to grow, you know, grow along spiritual lines. I mean, that's my job today. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. So thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen. I'm grateful for this meeting, too. All right. Loralee S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Melanie C. Please go ahead, Loralee.
Hi, this is Loralee S. I'm a compulsive overeater in Denver. Very grateful to be here. I haven't been on these meetings in about 2.5 weeks. I've been sick, and I have not been able to wake up on time. And so I've been listening to the recordings, but it's really nice to be able to actually participate and say out loud to other compulsive overeaters that I, too, am a compulsive overeater. When I first read this paragraph, I thought, this guy is insane. He just got sober, and he's jumping into a political campaign and staying up all night, and that just seems really risky. But, you know, as other people have pointed out, you know, he is a free man, and he turned his will and life over to God. I look at that previous paragraph. You know, he gave his, and he must have really given his life to the care of a creator to be able to do this. And looking at, you know, frequenting men's gathering places of all sorts means he was probably around alcohol, and he is a free man because of God. And, you know, I'm 11 weeks in. I just came back to OA 2 days after the shutdown, and so I haven't actually been to any gathering places of any sort since I got abstinent. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. I don't have to worry about that yet. But I was just thinking about, you know, I don't know where I am spiritually if I'd be able to do that, but that's okay. I don't have to. I can just keep turning everything over to God. And one day at a time, I am not chained to the food anymore. I am a free person, and I am just so grateful, and it's almost like I can't believe it. And but this is this guy was, you know, so desperate. He kept saying, it's no use. Nothing will fix me. Nothing will fix me. And then finally found a solution. And that is how I feel. I came to my first meeting so hopeless. Nothing will fix me. And in here, I found a solution. And I'm so grateful. So thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much, Loralee S. Wow. Great, great story. Thank you. And we've got Melanie C. coming up next. After her, we have Kathy K., and then we'll take another lineup of people who'd like to read, who would like to comment on page 158, I'm sorry, A Vision for You, page 158, paragraph 3. So please go ahead, Melanie C.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Oregon this morning. It's bright and sunshiny here, and I love that. It makes this particular paragraph even more bright. I've read it before, and I thought, wow. And I even have in my margin here, my big book, what a transformation. They make it sound like it was instantaneous. I wanted some of that. I don't know about y'all, but I wanted some of that. They talk about in this particular chapter that he was somebody, then a nobody, then a somebody again, and he turned his life around. And by what? By what means, Melanie? What are the directions here for you? How is it that this would be a promise for you as well, turning his life over to God? And I didn't know how to do that. I did not know how to do that. I can tell you, though, what's come about as a result of this particular kind of experience for me, and the fact that slowly but surely, my life was, I was a nobody, certainly, for sure, in that sense, but my life was so small that it was a nobody, that my whole life had gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, so that when somebody described to me their life and what had happened to them, that it was absolutely brilliantly bankable, and it wasn't for somebody born with a silver spoon in their mouth. It wasn't for somebody that won the lottery, that happened to be lucky. It was for anybody that would sit down with somebody else that had gone through this and follow the directions. It was a mechanical, practical thing that it would happen for that individual too. And what would that be? Filling that hole inside my heart that I was doing with everything externally out there. That's what was going to happen. And then when the hole seemed to open again and I was looking again outside myself, conscious or not conscious of doing that particular practice, that I would be guided back by y'all to how that hole in that part, particular part of my soul was filled. I didn't get up right away and pull up my clothes and walk out a free man, only in that I wasn't aware that that was what was going to happen for me. It happened because it happens just like that. The moment that I turned my life over, unbeknownst to me, I was already in the pathway of free person. The chains were gone. It was the twisted mind that was letting go of the invisible chains that were there, because I kept pulling in what I was doing before into what was happening today. And since then, I have no words to tell you that something happened to me. I have been transformed. My personality is not the same. Something that I could not have done, and I am absolutely free. But the most important thing is that I have a definition, a relationship, a thing inside me that knows, and I don't mean to offend, that knows God, a word that works for me now that didn't in the beginning. I know God, and it's empowering, it's beautiful, and it's bountiful, and I can go to it every time to be filled. With that, I pass.
Beautiful. Thank you, Melanie C. Okay, Kathy K. from California, you are up next, and then we're going to take another lineup for people to share on page 158, paragraph 3. Please go ahead, Kathy K.
Good morning, everyone. Kathy K. from Sacramento, California. So glad to be here on this meeting, and thank you, everyone, who is speaking, sharing, and even just claiming your seat today. The part that struck me was that he had found himself again. And I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for 20 years. I'm a 100-pounder, and I was, like so many people I've heard, floundering and just not doing the program the way the big book had described. And about 7 weeks ago, I had the lightning bolt spiritual experience of the third step. And within about 2 weeks of that, had been shown a path to go back to school and get my master's degree for a master's in social work and healthcare so that I can be of service. And to the extent that the application and acceptance process was just effortless and had a feeling of freedom, I know it's my higher power's will. And, you know, I'm so grateful to people in the fellowship in my life who said, hey, maybe not start school June 1st. Why don't you give your recovery a good solid 6 months and start in January, which is what I'm going to do. And I can't wait to learn, be in a place of learning, and to really just be able to use what I know now plus what I'll be able to learn to be of service to people in the world. That was truly my gut feeling. And I know that I can only do that by staying in these meetings, working the steps with my sponsor, and staying with God. And I'm blown away by what happens in my life when I work the steps. And I'm particularly grateful to this group for helping to keep me focused every morning at 7 a.m. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So, who would like to comment on this third paragraph of page 158?
Reva G.
Santa H. Reva G.
Michelle J.
Anybody else? There's plenty of room. I've got Santa H, Reva G, and Michelle J. Well, how's about we get rolling with that? You guys may inspire. I'm sorry, who was that again?
Nancy F.
Nancy F, we got you on the list. Okay, let's get started with you all, and then we'll take a couple more if there's time, and there are likely to be.
So I've got Santa H, Reva G, Michelle J, Nancy F. And was somebody going to jump in the pool there? Nope. Okay. Please go ahead, Santa.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Elaine. Good morning, family. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in a solution one day at a time, calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. And thank you for the shares today. It was so helpful for me in coming to a point where I want to share on this paragraph as well. I also like the line where he says, but he had found God. And this reminds me of, I mean, this is a powerful, powerful statement to me. This reminds me of, you know, how close is my conscious contact with my higher power and how closer it can be. And it also reminds me of in 11, step 11, where it says throughout the day, constantly say, thy will be done. And I have been practicing that, and I've noticed that, you know, like other people are feeling affected by the coronavirus, and plans for this year has had to be canceled, and things have changed for me. I still am finding peace with it all, because in spite of what happens, I know that I have a power greater than myself that is in charge of everything, and I'm learning from all of you and from studying this. Reading this book and taking it to heart over and over again, the reading from this book, taking it to heart that despite what happens, it was supposed to happen that way. And just like with this gentleman here, despite what happened, he found God. And for me, despite what happens, I know that my higher power is in control. And look at the lessons that I can learn from that experience. And I'm sure he's probably doing the same thing, looking at the lessons he learned from his experiences here of the campaign and how it turned out. So for me today, it is just living in the present moment as best to my abilities and just keep saying, what is your plan, higher power? What is your plan for me today, for tomorrow? I put it in your hands, and I'm just living in the present moment for today. Although I make plans for the future, I turn them over to my higher power because I don't know what's best for me, and I don't know how things are going to turn out. So I don't know if I'm going to look at things as bad or good, but look at them as it is just is. And I'm grateful for every experience that I experience. And even what I'm going through right now with this coronavirus, I am grateful for every experience that I have gone through. And thank you for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Santa H. Reva G., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Michelle J. Please go ahead, Reva.
This is Reva G. in Brooklyn. Many years ago, I wasn't in a program. I didn't even know this program existed. And I was, for years, a battered wife. And I had two children. And one day I felt it was all too much, and I took a vial of sleeping pills on an impulse, the same way as I might have put a cookie in my mouth. I just put a vial of sleeping pills in my mouth. And I really felt that nothing could stop me now. I was really going to die. And through no wish of my own, I got rescued, and the police came, and I got turned around. I got brought back into a life where I had to then function with two kids, a husband who was going to beat me again, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I started to go to synagogues and churches, although I was never religious, nor was anybody in my family religious, nor did I have any human being even to talk to. And I suddenly started to go there, and lo and behold, when my husband lifted his fist again to me, I simply walked out, and without any special energy on my part, I suddenly had all the energy and strength I needed to face everything I needed to face and get the divorce I needed to get. And I don't know how that happened. And until I began to realize, even now, after all these years, it's more than, I mean, this was in 1973. that I was being carried. I was literally being carried without a program, with no thought of anything whatsoever. I was being carried. I was being given this energy. I had had a psychic change without even having the words to describe that. And now I've been going through a lot of changes, and I feel that a lot of problems are being solved, that I need to let go of control of everything that I thought I needed to control. I don't need to do anything. I just need to sit still and be carried. And this involves relationships with my grandchildren and all kinds of things. I mean, everything, including my history, all kinds of things are just falling into place. Oh, my God, what a spiritual experience this is. There are just no words to describe it, and I'm just exhausted. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Reva G. Thanks, Reva. And Michelle J., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Nancy S., and then we'll take a couple more. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Thank you. Hey, good morning, all of you. Michelle J. here from Arkansas, recovered to the day by the grace of God, and always spiritually growing, thank goodness. So just as perfect, a spiritual awakening and finding myself. Born in 1960, I lost myself in the real, in these unrealistic expectations that the world kept putting in front of me. You know, I grew up thinking if I was just Cinderella, or if I was just the I Dream a Genie, you know, maybe if I won the lottery, then my world would be okay. If I had an inheritance, maybe I wanted to be beautiful because movie stars had it all. I mean, my whole brain was just saturated with this. I needed a gift. I needed to be a singer or an artist in Paris. And my dad was a genius. My stepfather was a genius. And boy, with a temper, if I wasn't smart, and I was not smart, he let me know it. My mother had been a model. And I, if I gained a pound, it was horrible. I mean, the expectations of these people, they stole me, and I lost myself. And it wasn't until I'm 59 years old and I'm working this program as hard as I can in these 12 steps and I'm getting the promises and I'm learning, my life is changed from trying to live out the expectations of others and expecting others to live up to my expectations. This is changing now, and through a spiritual awakening, God, it's his expectations I live for. And it's God's expectations that I look for in others. And, you know, if the promises are there, and I'm learning to live again, and I'm finding myself at 59 years old, and it's a beautiful, beautiful feeling. So just a reminder to all of you out there that it's there for the taking. Just work the program, and you too can find yourself and have the spiritual awakening, or have the spiritual awakening and find yourself, whichever way it comes, chicken or the egg. And with that, I'll pass. Have a good day, y'all.
Thanks so much, Michelle J. Yes, it is there for the taking. Just got to work these steps. Nancy F., you are up next, and then we'll take a couple more people to comment on page 158, paragraph 3. Please go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I'm Nancy, a compulsive overeater and bulimic and anorexic. I read that yesterday, matter of fact, and I'm still struggling day by day. But I'm struggling because, as my sponsor says, that I'm not letting go. You wouldn't have to struggle if you would just let go and let God. And I'm ready for it. I mean, I had a spiritual awakening when I first gave up the food, and that lasted about 2 weeks, and I felt like a totally new person. But then I went back to my old ways. But I've been in another 12-step program, but I just have to turn it over because it's just too much for me to handle. Whenever I try to do something about it, that's when everything gets screwed up. So I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad to have so many ladies involved in this. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy F. We are glad you are here, too. And, okay, we have time for about three more shares. Anybody want to claim their seat here and share their thoughts? Although we do experience your strength, your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So, anybody
Madeline
want to give
R.
them the line?
Madeline R.
Anyone else? Star 1 to unmute. All righty. Okay.
Shelly E.
Shelly E. We do have room for one more.
Gusty N.
Gusty N. Perfect. Thank you, everybody. Madeline R., Shelly E., and Gustin M. And Gusty M. And Madeline, please go ahead. You'll be followed by Shelly.
Thank you. Hi, this is Madeline R. I'm recovering here in Pennsylvania. I want to thank everybody for their service and all your wonderful shares this morning. Oh my goodness, I heard so much of what came to my mind when I heard this read this morning, especially, you know, about chains. My chains are gone. I've been set free. And such a paradox this program is, because I thought I could never live my life without my drug of choice, you know, the food. And yeah, I hold on to some others like control and, you know, we were here to talk about the food. But finally letting the food go, you know, one day at a time based on a fit spiritual condition, what a blessing it has been and what freedom. And just the words literally say, you know, put on his clothes. For me, someone who never had a very good body image, to just be able to get dressed in the morning, assume whatever's in my closet's going to fit, not stressing out about what there is to wear, you know. And that seems like such a fundamental, silly thing to talk about, considering we're talking about the fact that he found God. Though that did come with it, you know, that freedom of just not being concerned that there'll be nothing to wear today. You know, I mean, I remember wearing the slacks that were polyester. Now they're back, but they went out of style for a long time. But they were sewn so much between the legs, you know, at the upper part of the thigh, that the thread would actually hurt. You know, so I'm so grateful for that freedom. And especially finding God, the God of my understanding, who happened to be the God of my youth, that I didn't know and was afraid of, and my mom had a lot of fear, and that fear was projected on me. And thinking that, like, I was disobedient, and I'm not worthy now, and I'm not any good, and that's heavy stuff for somebody to come through. And, you know, what possibly could God do about my food, you know? And I'm so grateful for all of you teachers that came before me that said, you know, you don't like that God, fire that God, hire a God of your understanding, which ended up being the one that I did learn about at Sunday school. But that took years and years. And, you know, the fellowship really helped me have the freedom to experiment and to look and to try new things and to, you know, discuss my own image of God, which happens to be the one that I learned as a child. So I'm so grateful for this particular meeting and for everybody's service and everybody that shared before me. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madeline R. And Shelly E., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Gusty M. Please go ahead, Shelly.
Hi, this is Shelly E., recovered in Texas. This paragraph, and in particular these two pages, 158 and 159, I remember as I was getting toward the end with my sponsor and doing really well. And I remember when we were reading these pages, three has always been an important number for me. It's a lot of times the way I see God. And as we were reading these, you know, and we know it's divinely inspired, on 58, or actually on 157, we meet number three. And as we read down, we see on the third day, the lawyer gave its life to the care and direction of its creator. And as we go further down the page, it's so you see, there were three alcoholics in that town. And further on 159, we find in the first paragraph, he had three visitors. And in the second paragraph, he was there 3 months. And also in the body of that paragraph, they shared their homes, number one, their slender resources, number two, and gladly devoted their spare hours to fellow sufferers, number three. And lastly, a year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. And if I ever needed evidence, this closed the door for me. This sealed the deal because I just thought it was pretty amazing. But that was mentioned that many times. And when you look up three represents divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. And it was also, when we see the number three in the past, it's a reminder from the universe of our potential and innately divine nature. And one more thing, it's considered the number of harmony, wisdom, and understanding, and also past, present, and future. So when I saw those, that sealed the deal for me. That was my sign, and that's all I have. I passed. Shelley E. from Texas.
Thanks so much, Shelley E. from Texas, and Dusty N. I believe you'll be our final share for today. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm Gusty N., recovered in West Virginia by the grace of God, one day at a time. And this paragraph really struck me this morning, how deeply it connected with my morning meditation. In particular, this man who has turned his will and his life over to the care of the God of his understanding. And in the 11th step, of course, we say that we ask only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out, which I always summarize as show me and help me every day. And when I get out of show me and help me and into what I want, I have to remember to just step back in to show me and help me. And here this man enters a political campaign, and we don't get any information about why he does that, if that's part of his 11th step prayer, that he feels that God wants him to enter this political campaign. I will sort of assume that that's what happened. But he loses. And for whatever reason, the writers of this book put that sentence in there to say he immediately got well very quickly, became a free man, and then he promptly went out and failed. And I love that. But of course, he didn't fail in the sense of that putting your will and your life into the care of our higher power, because the point was just to go one day at a time. It wasn't necessarily about being successful. It's just showing up and doing the footwork. And that's in some ways what happened to me this morning as I was in my prayer about, you know, what do you really want me to do, God? And it really isn't about all this achievement stuff that used to be so important in my life. It's really just about showing up and doing my part of the footwork one day at a time. And so I really appreciated this paragraph. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gussie Ann. So we do have time for, well, it's just 1.5 minute share. I think I'd like to save that. There's so many newcomers on the line that we'll give just an extra moment or two for getting numbers from newcomers. And so we'll now transition the meeting. I want to thank everyone who has shared. And now we're going to read from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Leslie M. please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.